That's 3 o'clock p.m. And he did the same thing. On verse 6, at about the 11th hour, which is 5 o'clock p.m. our time, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, "Why have you been standing here idle all day?" They said to him in verse 7, "Because no one hired us." He said to them, "You go into the vineyard too." Verse 8, you all with me? Verse 8, when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last group to the first." When those hired about the 11th hour came, each one received a denarius. A denarius, by the way, is common compensation, common salary that a person that was, say, a Roman soldier would receive for a day's work in the first century. So it was what's called a living wage. It was enough money for you to live on and for your family for one day. So he called him and he gave each one that came first a denarius. I'm reading verse 9. When those hired about the 11th hour came, each one received a denarius. When those hired first came, that's the 6 a.m. people, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they grumbled at the landowner, saying, "These men have worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the scorching heat of the day." But he answered and said to them, this is the landowner talking, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go. But I wish to give to the last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with what is my own? Or is your eye envious because I am generous? So the last shall be first, and the first last." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Have anyone read this parable before? Read this parable before? Okay. So let's just, rather than beat around the bush, let's just jump to the elephant in the room. And the elephant in the room is God ever unfair? Because that's what most people ask about this parable. Is God ever unfair? And obviously, it's an absolute no. God is not ever unfair. Even when it seems like he's unfair, God is not unfair. All right? I explained this in Sunday school, that the paycheck that the guys that came in at 6 a.m. was, even that paycheck was more than what they deserved for their skill set and for the type of labor they performed. They actually got more than they deserved as well. I use the word denarius to say it's worth $100 a day. What they did was only worth $50 a day, but the landowner still gave them $100 a day. Here's what Ezekiel says about God being unfair. Ezekiel 18, 25 and 29 says, "Yet ye say, the Lord is not equal. Hear now, O house of Israel. Is not my way equal? Are not your ways unequal?" He goes on to say, Paul writes in Romans regarding God being fair or God being equal. He says, "But glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God." God does not respect persons. One more along those lines, Colossians 3:24, because Sister Annie read Romans 9 in Sunday school, so I won't read that again. But when you get home, you can also check out Romans 9, because it says essentially the same thing. But here's what Colossians 3:24 says. Knowing that of the Lord, that ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. For there is no respecter of persons. God is fair. God is just. God always gives us more than what we deserve. Amen? Amen. You may think that you've been dealt a bad hand in life, but I am here to tell you that we all get more than what we deserve. God always blesses us according to Ephesians 3:20, which says that he gives us, or he does, exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. Exceedingly abundantly, according to the power that worketh in us. He does over all we ask or think. Amen?
Amen.
Luke 6 talks about things that the Lord's blessings being pressed down, shaken together, overflowing. Yeah. Overflowing, God does. Amen. He tips over. I mean, he just gives us way more than we deserve. God is always more than fair. The thief on the cross was cursing at the Lord Jesus and railing against him and yelling at him and calling him names just a few hours before he died. But just before he died, he said, Lord, will you remember me when you come into your kingdom? And Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. You notice how the Lord did not. Hey, give me a little more volume on this red mic, please. Or Marcus, I don't know if Rick's over there. But I can't hear myself that well. Here's the thing that blows me away. The Lord didn't give a, like we as parents do, I told you so speech. You know how we like to tell people that mess up after we warn them, don't mess up? After we told them, don't do this, don't go there. And, okay, you can bring it down, it's a little too much. We do that. Well, the Lord doesn't do that to us. He doesn't give us a I told you so speech. He doesn't rub it in our faces. Amen?
Amen.
So the first will be last and the last will be first. That just simply means that the Lord is willing to save those. One of the things it can mean, it's sort of a proverb or riddle, but one of the things that it could mean is that the Lord gives the same blessing to those who get saved early in life as those that get saved later in life. Samuel was pretty much in the church all of his life, and the thief on the cross was probably in church none of his life. And they both got eternal life.
Amen. Yeah.
What a mighty God we serve, that he just blesses us evenly. Amen. Amen. Don't strive to outdo someone. Don't strive to, be recognized by your accolades and your efforts and the crowns that you get down here. Strive to be recognized by the Lord, who pays a much greater dividend, a better wage, who gives us more in the life to come, even than we get in the life here. Although he does bless us quite a bit, even in this life. Amen? I love what Peter said. Peter was, what led to these questionings, and I didn't give you a lot of background because we covered a lot of it in Sunday school, but what led to these questions this particular parable about the landowner and the guys that were arguing for more money, is that Peter made this statement, this amazing statement, over in Matthew chapter 19, and he said, Lord, we've given up everything to follow you. We've left our jobs, we've left our families, we walked away from our careers, we've given all of that up to follow you. What do we get? The classic question of what's in it for me? And I know a lot of us probably don't ever say that out loud. We probably don't actually mouth the words, Lord, I'll do this for you, but you got to do this for me. Most of us probably wouldn't say that for fear of the Lord saying, no, you didn't. And him giving us the riot act for what he's done for us. But Peter, made the mistake of saying in Matthew 19:27, we've given up everything to follow you. What will we get? And so here's how the Lord answered him. He said, everyone who has given up houses or brothers or sisters, or father, or mother, or children, or property for my sake. Let me just pause there for a minute. How many of you have given up property, your house, your parents, your kids, your siblings, for the sake of Jesus Christ? In other words, has it ever come to a point where you had to lose your family, lose your loved ones, lose your job, lose your apartment, your house, because of Jesus? Probably most of us haven't had to walk away from that much for the Lord's sake, right? I mean, the disciples did. Typically, even today, a Jewish person that is an Orthodox observing Jew, it might be very costly for them to walk away from Judaism and their family to become a Christian. That would be a pretty steep price in today's economy, because they would be considered dead to their families. That would be a very bold move. But Jesus is saying, anybody that has made any level of sacrifice, and as a matter of fact, I put in my notes that we really don't make sacrifices with God. We really make investments. Anything we let go of, God gives us manifold blessings way beyond our so-called quote-unquote sacrifice. He told Peter, okay, you gave up everything to follow me, Peter? Cool, here's what you get. You get 100 times as much in return. And I love this conjunction, A-N-D, that connects the first statement with the second statement. He says, and you will inherit eternal life. You had me at eternal life. I wish that would have been first, because the other stuff is fine, but eternal life should be all that matters. You can't exceed that. You can't get extra eternal lives, right? So he said, no, you're good, Peter. I'm gonna take care of you. A, you're gonna get some on earth, and you're gonna get the rest in heaven. Amen. You're gonna get 100 times. The other, if you look at some of the companion scriptures from Matthew 19, the other synoptic gospels, they use the term, you receive much more. Matthew actually put a term on it, or a numerical assignment to it. He said 100 times much. But I think that's just code for, you're gonna receive way more than you can even calculate. God's going to bless us exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. As a matter of fact, he said, and I love this particular passage over in 1 Corinthians 2:9, he says, this is what the scriptures say when it refers to, no eye have seen, no ear have heard what God, or no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Amen? Amen. God takes care of us. Don't keep score. I'm going to quit. But let me just say this before I sit down. Don't keep score. Don't get into a deal-making position with God to the extent where you say, God, if you do this for me, I'll do that for you. Don't do it. It's a no-win situation. God is not obligated to us, nor does he owe us anything. Always take the attitude, Lord, I trust you. If you compare the sets of workers, those that started at 6 a.m. and those that started subsequent to 6 a.m., the ones at 6 a.m., they're the only ones that sat down and hashed out a collective bargaining agreement. We want X amount of money for working for you. But the cats that came in at 9 and noon and 3 and 5, he said to them, if you work for me, I'll give you whatever is right. They said, I'm down with that. Let's do this. Let's work. Why? Because the attitude was for the later workers, we trust you. We know you will do right by us. That's trust. That's faith. That's grace. The first workers basically were saying, we don't really trust you. We want a bargain. We want a contract. We want an agreement. That's what the word agreed. You agreed means in Greek there. Jesus uses it twice in this parable. And both times, symphophio means that you came to a bargaining agreement based on a proposal that was mutually accepted by both parties. says, since that's the way you want it to roll, that's how we're gonna roll. The other worker said, we don't have any demands, Mr. Landowner, just please give us a job. Translate that to what it means today. Lord, we have no demands. We are not entitled to anything. You don't owe us anything. We haven't earned anything. We haven't merited anything. Whatever we get from you is grace and mercy. And my attitude, amen. And so my attitude is that of humility. Lord, I thank you for whatever you've done for me. Amen. Wherever I'm at, financially, physically, economically, socially, employment-wise, education-wise, career-wise, wherever I'm at, whatever place I find myself in, I am grateful. I am thankful. Yes, it could be better, but guess what? It could be a thousand times worse. I often tell this story about when I was taking piano lessons as a kid. Adrian and I would go to piano lessons, and my piano teacher, Mrs. Fleming, had over her wall by the piano, it said, I complained because I had no shoes until I met a man who had no feet. Our situation always looks better when compared to someone else that's maybe in a more struggling position at the time. Yes, it can be, we want more, but we should thank God for what we have, right? And I think had the workers at 6 a.m. not worried about what the owner gave the people at 5 p.m., their life would have been a lot better. I like how the owner said, friend, I gave you what we bargained for. I don't owe y'all nothing. You ain't got nothing coming. Take your money and go home. You're mad at me and you're mad at them because I did what I wanted to do with my money.
Right.
I love that answer. I think it was a stroke of genius that Jesus had the people that came in at 5 get paid first. I said during Sunday school, had the people that got paid at 5 got paid last, and the ones that came in at 6 a.m. got their paycheck first, we wouldn't even have a parable. There'd be no controversy because the people at 5 that came in at 6 a.m. would get their paycheck and go home. But because they were forced to stand in line and wait till the steward doled out the checks, they were able to see what the guys in front of them were getting paid. Amen?
Amen.
And that's how some of us are. We watch everybody else. We're about who's getting over, who's doing well, who's driving what, who's wearing what, who lives where, who got a raise, who got this in the bank, who bought this, who married this person, who was got this promotion. We're always comparing. So we base our life on what somebody else has, rather than the fact that God has already blessed us, you. So they're comparing their lives to the other dudes, and they got upset, forgetting about just 12 hours ago, they sat down in the marketplace and hammered out a deal that, according to Jewish history, they initiated because the owner would have had a set price, but they bargained for a higher price, and the owner gave them the higher price, and they were still salty, and still saying, why did they get what we got? Don't let jealousy and envy and finger pointing eat you alive.
That's right.
Leave it alone.
Right.
Stay in your lane.
Right.
Be thankful for what you got.
Right.
Amen?
Yeah.
Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
Really, be thankful for what you have.
Yeah.
Be grateful, because all of us are benefactors of grace.
Yeah.
We're all benefactors of God's generosity. Amen. Amen. All right, I'm done. God bless you. Any questions?
I have one.
Okay.
So your topic was, what's in it for me?
Right.
And your sermon, the answer is trusting Jesus pays?
Yes.
Okay, that's it. That's, and Jamie? trusting Jesus pays. You're doing the right thing. Trust Jesus. It pays.
Amen. Amen. All of us trusting Jesus pays. Lose that mentality. What's in it for me? I'm only going to do this if God does this for me. Or why should I live saved? I'm struggling. I'm suffering financially, physically. You know, my kids acting up. My wife acting up. My husband acting up. I'm having problems at the job. They're trying to fire me. They're trying to run me up out of there. You could complain all day long if you wanted to.
That's right.
But it wouldn't change your position. Gratitude is so much more relieving. Gratitude is so much more rewarding. It's so much less stressful. Amen? And that's all Jesus is saying. I put in my notes, this whole lesson was not about rewards or compensation. This lesson was about attitude and accomplishment. It was about faithfulness, about guys that could have gone home.